Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code REDBOX at checkout for 20% off at catholicsingles.com.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo.
We've been rarely congratulated before we started today by our producer because our voices were fine and our disposition was greater than other days.
Well, she had a great word to use. She said, "You have gusto." Both of you have gusto. Let's start recording.
For me, my explanation is that I try always to be on time, so I never have time to get coffee. I was earlier today, and I got coffee before I came here.
All right. I managed two things today. I got my coffee beforehand, and I was here early.
I saw that. Very good.
Yes. So November 1st now is what we're going to be celebrating on Sunday. It's the date. November 1st, whenever it falls, is the Solemnity of All Saints. So if that's a Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever, it happens to fall on a Sunday this particular year. So that's going to replace what normally would have been the Sunday. That would be the 31st Sunday in ordinary time.
And it's a great opportunity, as we were discussing before recording today, that this year we didn't get, it's the year of Matthew, and we didn't get to record an episode on the Beatitudes. We didn't get to read a Sunday Gospel about the Beatitudes because some feast fell on that day, and today we have the chance to do that.
You were quite disappointed that feast overtook the Gospel for the Beatitudes.
For me,
so
it's
here's
difficult.
A second chance.
Yeah, for me, it's difficult to understand Matthew's Gospel without looking at this very important text.
All right. So how about I do that? So I'm going to read Matthew's Gospel, the Beatitudes. Where is that in Matthew's Gospel?
You are reading from chapter 5, verses 1 to 12, and 12a, it says. We read half of that verse.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven."
This is how I explain this feast and why the church so wisely chooses this gospel. If you want to be a good person, a nice person, you follow the commandments. If you want to be what we celebrate today, All Saints, we not only are celebrating the saints, known and unknown, but we are celebrating our own call to holiness. Then, if you want to be holy, follow the Beatitudes. The commandments are a little bit more prohibitions, most of them, not all of them, but most of them. Do not do this, do not do that, do not kill, do not lie. And they were given by Moses, by God, through Moses, like thousands of years ago. Jesus comes and says, "Yes, you have the commandments, but let's build up on these commandments." And then instead of just the don'ts of the commandments, the prohibitions of the commandments, in the Beatitudes you see kind of a more proactive action, which I think is what takes us from being nice people to being a holy people.
That's an interesting perspective, and it makes sense, and how appropriate it would be then on November 1st, which, yeah, is really our call to sanctity. We recognize all those whom we believe in heaven and who are models of holiness, but also our call as well. And yeah, that call of Jesus to do even more, to go deeper, I'd say, deeper in that path of discipleship here. So you've used the phrase before, and I've heard others stated as well, that Beatitudes would be like the roadmap, in a sense, of discipleship through the lens of Matthew's Gospel, and really the roadmap for Matthew's Gospel. Why do you say that? You spoke spoke a little bit just a moment ago. Would you add to
that? Yeah, I would add that two things I would say. First, that a reminder that this is the beginning of the Sermon in the Mount. So that the Beatitudes is only the beginning, then it continues. But even in the rest of the Gospel, for me, there is a fleshing out of this Beatitude. So you're going to see what mercy is, what persecution is, to wish what peacemaking is later in the Gospel as well, with particular stories, especially the personal history of Jesus Christ himself. But that's what I think. It explains later what does it mean to be clean of heart, what does it mean to be a child of God. I think it really is a roadmap. Some people think, or the big theological discussion with the Beatitudes is it a call for now, or it's a roadmap for present-day Christianity or discipleship, or is it a future? If you do this, then you get the future reward of heaven. And I've always thought that this was really a roadmap for here and now discipleship.
Well, that leads to the perennial, maybe, tension, which is, it's often a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the kingdom of heaven is here, but also fully realized in the future. And that's a good question that I've always kind of thought about, not very deeply. Yeah, is this really a reference to a call right now, or to maybe a fulfillment in a sense in the presence of God? And it's a good question to kind of pray about and to think about. Also, as often happens, we can present these questions as a means of excuse as well, mm-hmm. you know, as a means of excusing the call to live this out and to appreciate this right now.
I think reading the Beatitudes in the way we are suggesting, I think it would take us away from I think one of the mistakes we've made as a church, if I can humbly say this, we are a people of the commandments. And even when we do a penance service, we tend to use, many times I've seen the use of the commandments as a way to do an examination of conscience. Imagine an examination of conscience based on the Beatitudes. So that, yes, I can confess that I've said a bad word, and that's bad. But imagine I would confess, or I would examine my conscience in situations in which I didn't take the side of justice, or I didn't stand up for an injustice committed against someone else, for the times I wasn't a peacemaker. You know what I mean? It really... The standard is raised by Jesus, I believe, by doing this. So I propose this, that next time that we have a penance service, we look at the Beatitudes a little bit more. I also want you to see the beginning of the text when it says Jesus goes up the mountain, and Moses had got up the mountain before,
and
Moses comes down with the commandments, so Jesus comes down with the Beatitudes. I think it makes sense.
I don't think it could be much clearer that there is a connection there with the commandments.
In Matthew, Jesus is the new Moses, clearly. Moses was a very important character for his time, for the wandering of the desert, for a people that were shepherds, and now Jesus is a little bit more modern, appealing or asking people to follow these much more demanding Beatitudes, I think.
Right. Well, I'm looking forward to the whole solemnity. I love, this is my favorite solemnity of the whole year and my favorite time of year. But the readings for All Saints are so beautiful. The prayers as well, the preface within the Missal is one of the most beautiful ones. It almost brings me to tears when I pray it. But just a very beautiful day. But then November 2nd as well, we remember all the faithful departed. And it's just a time where, at least for me, I find that the kind of that layer between the living and the dead is much thinner, you know. You feel a connection with those who have gone before us and also appeal to the saints' help to help us all to see the face of God. And getting into November as well, it's a time to look forward to winters. I always appreciate this feast a lot in this time of year, and I'm looking forward to the celebration.
I have to admit that I didn't know this for the longest time. It should be a shame on me to say this. But when we speak about the communion of saints and we say that we believe on this, that's what we mean, that these 2 days bring that concept to reality. We believe that there is a deep connection between the saints in heaven, those who have passed before us, that are saints and are in heaven, and the reality that we live in our lives. That's what communion of saints means. And for the longest time, I didn't know. Maybe it was taught to me and I was, you know, I'm a easily distracted person. But I agree with you. These 2 days are great, great celebrations.
The key thing always to keep in mind, I say this especially when I talk about the saints to the kids, but it's true for all of us to remember as well, is that be careful not to make the saints to be so different than who we are, almost like cartoon characters or so heroic. Yes, they are, but they are normal human beings mm-hmm. like us, and we are called to do the same thing. You know, don't make them so different.
One way to challenge a congregation this day would be ask them, do you think you are holy? Raise your hand if you think you are holy. Mm-hmm. Nobody will raise their hands. Ask them a second question. Do you think you will make it to heaven? And then they raise their hands. Or, you know what I mean? When the question is, it's almost two wordings to say the same thing. Mm-hmm. We believe that whatever soul makes it to heaven is a saint.
Right.
Only that we then recognize some saints, and I agree with you. We should be careful not to idealize them. They are human people like us, and we are supposed to follow them. Yeah.
Right. All right. Well, sounds good. I'm looking forward to this weekend. It's a good time, and my two parishes are having a 40-hour devotion as well this particular weekend. Pray in particular for issues related to human dignity, related to race, and just it's always a nice time. It's an annual thing, and so that's Friday until Sunday as well, and going to end with All Saints. So I'm looking forward to that. How about next week we'll get together?
I think we should meet again. Yeah.
All right. Good. Have a good rest of the day.
You too.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.